Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to So I Got to Thinking, your weekly Sex and the City podcast, where we take the timeless questions of Carrie Bradshaw and apply them to modern life and love. As ever, you are listening to Pissan Juno Dawson and tongued taint Dylan B. Jones. Hi, Dylan.
Hi, Juno.
How are you?
Good, thanks. While you were thinking up those intros on the fly, I was trying to remember what the fragrances were called in the apple.
Oh yeah, pomegranate and patchouli,
cucumber and basil.
Cucumber and basil. Yeah. Why would you want to smell like a salad? Quite indeed. Hello.
Hello.
As you may have guessed from those references, this week we are talking about somewhere in season six,
episode 13.
It's called Let There Be Light.
Yes. Yes.
Now, Dylan, this second part of season six is not giving the best ever episodes. Like, if somebody was to say, God, what's your favourite episode of Sex and the City? No one in the entire world is going to say this episode.
Well, it was to the point where, like, because I go back and rewatch, like, even apart from this, our rewatch that we're doing currently gradually, I go back and rewatch like my favorite episodes, obviously, and always have done, and this was the first time that I've watched an episode of Sex and the City for our podcast and been like, I don't remember some of this. Like, what, I don't remember what happens next.
Yeah. So, like, you know how I said last week I was going to try and be really generous to Alexander Petrovsky? Yeah, I don't want to do that anymore.
It is quite possible that the last time I watched this episode was hunched at my parents' desktop computer on Mega Video when I was supposed to be revising for my A-levels. But we'll see. Potted synopsis.
Go on, open your pot.
So Carrie and Petrovsky's tryst is continuing. She's taken a lover.
Uncomfortable with her taking a lover.
That bit I enjoyed. Yeah, her and Petrovsky are continuing their romance, and it's all very romantic.
It's all, the word she uses, choreographed.
And it is.
Yes. Yeah. We'll get into it in a minute.
Written and directed by Michael Patrick King, this one, again. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are, I think, towards the end. I think he really took the reins, which is interesting. Miranda and Steve are fully back together now, which we love, of course.
Yeah.
But now have to contend with the fact that they are neighbours with Miranda's very recent ex, Dr. Robert Leeds.
Who has had a personality transplant.
Yes, who is suddenly horrible. Still played brilliantly by Blair Underwood. There's a couple of great scenes with him in this. Samantha and Smith, I liked this stuff, actually.
Yeah, I would say thank God for Miranda and Samantha in this episode, because otherwise it would be an absolute waste of time. Yeah.
Yeah, Samantha and Smith, interesting stuff. Again, I am really not mad at how they've done this storyline with Samantha finding that she actually does value being in a relationship. It's done really sensitively and really well, I think.
And quite dark, about as dark as Sex and the City has ever gone.
Yes, yeah, the particular scene, which I think we're both probably thinking of, had quite an impact on me, actually, watching it back. And then Charlotte, Yeah, Charlotte. Yeah.
She meets Andy Cohen in a shoe shop.
Yeah, like, yeah. But
we'll get to her last. let's start with Petrovsky updates. So let's go. So, yeah. Carrie gets home to find a written invitation.
Embossed.
Oh, what a cunt.
saying, would you like to go for a walk on like a thick, you know, like when you get an invite to a thing.
Very posh wedding.
Yeah, to a very posh wedding. And gold plated embossed invite from Petrovsky saying, would you like to go for a walk?
In fact, I had an invite like that when I was invited to meet Queen Camilla at St. James's House.
You are right. Okay,
that was, yeah. In fact, slightly perhaps less fancy than Alexander Petrovsky's, actually.
I mean, what do we think? How would you respond to an embossed invite to go for a walk?
I would immediately ring my friends and be like, yeah.
I would take a picture of it and send it to the WhatsApp group immediately.
Like, oh, trying so hard. But again, let's be fair. Carrie is a mad woman who wants her life
to be
like a Danielle Steele novel.
Yeah. Yeah. So she loved it.
Yeah. She thinks she is living in Dr. Zhivago. She wants breakfast at Tiffany's. You know, she is an unhinged woman who wants life to be more like the past.
Yes. But also so maybe, still wants to be able to buy shoes and eat Japanese food.
Have her own mortgage. Yeah. She wants it all. Maybe Alexander Petrovsky worked this out about Carrie, and that's why he thought that was a cute move. But the point of this episode is Carrie starts to worry that she's part of a highly choreographed seduction that he has been battering up for women since the 1970s. And unfortunately, the phrase batter up has really ruined a recent K-pop song called Batter Up by a new girl group. Because all I can imagine is Alexander Petrovsky pancakes. Battering up.
The International House of Petrovsky.
Which at the time I didn't get because I didn't know what IHOP was. Yeah, I now understand there is something. I understand the gag now.
Same. I don't know why she's... So firstly, she should have learned by now that she's incapable of... Because she gets all excited, doesn't she? And she says, I'm taking a lover. And she says she wants... Mm-hmm. All she wants it to be is sex, essentially. And I do enjoy it when she said, when Samantha calls her out on that. And Carrie's like, yes, but in a much more nuanced way. which I enjoyed because she knows that she's being a nonsense. Mm-hmm. But she should have learned by now that she's incapable... of, we've been through this three times now with her trying to have casual sex and then overthinking it, thinking like, oh, why isn't there more? Like, I'm having fun, but we should be in a relationship or there should be some more magic to it. You can't do it, Carrie. Like, you can't.
It's not her. She tried with Dennis from 30 Rock, yeah. If you remember, with the fuck buddy.
Yeah.
It's just not her. And so, yeah, that was ill-advised, but I just found the dates, him kissing sweets out of her mouth, him making out with her lower back, just a bit cringe. It's all a bit gross.
There's something...
And again, and it's just because I just don't fancy him, and it's like he looks a bit like her granddad or something.
There's something, yeah, I know what you mean, particularly on that park bench. It was a lot.
We almost had sex on a park bench in front of children.
And then Samantha saying, what stopped you?
Yeah.
Written by a gay man. there's something about eating, when someone puts something in their mouth and eats it, even if they've already swallowed it and then to immediately kiss someone, I always find it a little bit cringe and also slightly, like...
Some people are into that. I like food. I like sex. I do not want the twain.
Never the
to
twain.
Meet.
No. Do you remember that splashing scene from Secret Diary of a Call Girl?
Where Billy where she's throwing away a trifle.
There's like
around.
A trifle. And then he, like, I mean, God bless Billy Piper, as we've said
before. I love her. I adore her. Billy Piper, if you're listening to this, I love you.
I love you. And we want to have drinks with you. Mm-hmm. When he, like, pours an entire, like, bucket of baked beans down the back of her pants. So good. So good.
Not for me. 100% not for me.
I did notice a related to Petrovsky and Kerry. Mm-hmm. It was interesting that her, do you notice her necklaces? She's wearing distinctly different necklaces, and her Kerry necklace is nowhere to be seen. And I wonder if it's like foreshadowing, or if it was just, it was just by chance. I don't know.
I'm not sure we've seen the Kerry necklace for a while.
Yeah, I did think that, but she's wearing particularly like diamondy. I mean, the reason I made a note of it is I was like, Kerry's never, those are, I'm pretty sure those are real diamonds. And she wears like three different ones. So cumulatively, all worth probably like $100,000.
Oh, we're in silly season with her costumes now. Alexander lives in a very beautiful loft. Which is nice. We love a bit of New York real estate. She kind of, God, funny, it's really hard to talk about because it's so boring. but she decides. So she gets freaked out because she looks at like a really bad GeoCities website that looks like it's been made by a teenager in 1997 about the many loves of Alexander Petrovsky, which that's a really niche website for somebody to build.
I took a photo of it. I paused it and took a photo of it. Wait,
was he linked with Bianca Jagger or something?
So kind of... Alexander the Great, The Many Loves of Alexander Petrovsky by Paige Bishop. With as many women in his bed as there are colours on his palette, Alexander Petrovsky emerged from the 70s contemporary Lothario, seducing both the eye with his dazzling shimmering sculptures and the body with his graceful charisma. Yeah, and then it goes on and on. A poor copywriter at HBO had to write that article.
Yeah, I had to do a bit of that this week, strangely
enough. Oh, interesting.
All will be revealed. Oh. I think Carrie freaks out. She has sex, and then she goes to see him in his studio, and she's like, even though they've not, it's so weird because they haven't even talked about the notion that he's dating other women, but she decides to jump to the dump.
Yeah.
And he's like, now I see only you. He has his little black book in case of emergencies. But and I did actually, I quite like the scene where he's just like, I like you.
Yeah.
And
he's got that, and maybe this is supposed to be part of her attraction to him. He's got that, which is very different from Americans, that Eastern European bluntness, which can be good, which can be bad, but in this case, good. He's just like, I like you. Like, why are you overthinking it?
Which is, yeah, an issue Miss Bradshaw suffers from.
And I do think Samantha doesn't help either. Like, Samantha's like, oh, he was just putting on the moves. Like, I don't know, mm-hmm. Samantha. Like, maybe he was a nice guy and made pancakes.
Yeah, a bit cringe. But, although, actually, that said, my favourite thing in the world is when Max goes to our local bakery, the Flower Pot, and brings me a little croissant on a Saturday morning. That is the best thing in my life. Oh, when lovely. I wake up and there's a little croissant waiting for me.
If you're a bit hungover, if you
think he's probably listening to this.
If you, it's a hint. Remember for tomorrow.
Tomorrow is Saturday.
Especially if you've had a few glasses of wine as well and you're feeling a bit muzzy to wake up to a croissant.
Well, I'm going to finish my book today, so I'm going to celebrate tonight. I've got myself a little bit of rum and ginger beer. That's my drink of the moment.
Lovely.
A little rum and ginger beer. Nom, 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 nom. Did you notice the amazing continuity error towards the end of the episode?
I did not.
Okay, so Carrie arrives at Petrovsky's with straightened hair.
Under a beret, right?
Under a beret. In bed, her hair is wild and curly. And then when she goes back to meet him in the studio, it's rod straight again.
So unless she's got a very nifty, tiny little straightener that she very...
in her handbag, just micro straighteners.
And then just quickly shoves dry shampoo in it to tie it. Like, yeah, interesting. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so no, that is bad continuity. And I don't quite understand how that happened other than they filmed all the bed scenes on one day, basically.
Lots of hair going on in this episode. Samantha's hair was...
Let's not talk about Samantha's hair before the break because it's so good. I would like to talk about it by itself, actually.
It's got its own portion of the podcast.
Carrie asks, in some absolutely excruciatingly strung together references to light... including light and dark chocolate, light installations in his studio. The question is, why is it even when we try to keep things light, we wind up in the dark? That is the question we have to try and answer. I suppose it refers to...
If you're trying to have a casual thing, she's saying, isn't
yeah.
she? It can still be complicated. And she's correct. And I don't see why that has to be answered. Like...
It's naive. It's a slightly naive thing. I think we've done this before with questions like, why is it always something?
It's also very, very infuriatingly vague and essentially meaningless.
Have they given up? By this point, it feels like they're thinking of the theme and then just basing the question
I feel like
it.
They know they're getting to Paris and they're like, we just need to get to Paris. Like,
let's get the fuck to Paris.
Just get her to Paris.
And that, let's just get the fucking break out of the way. And then we will come back and discuss the actual brilliant plots, which include...
Samantha.
No man has ever been in me this deep. And Samantha's bangs. Okay, we'll see you in a second. Don't move a muscle.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello and welcome back. Let us now show you the light as we leave Carrie and Petrovsky making out with each other's spine. And let's talk about Miranda, Steve, and Blair Underwood in a lift.
Be kind. He's still in love with me. Loved
Cynthia Nixon having a great time with this plot, I think. Fair to say.
And Blair Underwood as well. Although I think we did touch on how it's like representation of him has been great, perhaps up until this point. Mm-hmm. We go into cliches and negative stereotypes slightly.
Definitely Charlotte has something to say about no man has ever been in me this deep, his stud fee. Oh. But then I guess because it's Robert saying it, not Miranda, you know, I think, you know, we're a far cry away from Samantha talking about Siobhan's big black dick, kind of.
Yeah. And he also, Blair Underwood, turned down that very role for the reason mm-hmm. that he wasn't comfortable with it. So one could assume from that if he had problems with what was in the script for this one, he would have said so. And perhaps did. Maybe it was really bad and he was like, no, let's tone it down.
Some men, in fairness to Michael Patrick King, some men do not take rejection well.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to name names, but I have a friend at the moment who broke up with his long-term partner last year, and his partner has become absolutely wild. And clearly, the ex is really struggling with this breakup, but his behavior has been appalling and very much played out on social media as well, mortifying for everyone involved, kind of.
Oh no.
Like, it's really like even as an onlooker, I'm like, this is not cute. This is such a bad look, kind of.
Yeah. And that's the sad the sad thing. Like, all they're doing is painting themselves in, like, a really unsexy, bad light when people kick off like that. Neighbours, have you ever been in this situation? Broken up with someone and had to bump into them all the time?
Somewhat. Brighton is a very small city. It's one of the reasons I transitioned. I'm essentially in witness protection.
But yeah, I can imagine going up and down that high street. I bet you bump into, like, I bet it happens all the time.
Oh, all the time. Yeah, it's, Brighton is very little.
Yeah.
And the gay scene, as it was even smaller. And so it's very hard to avoid an ex.
Mm.
But I'm a true believer, and we've talked about this before, that there is absolutely no need to act like a weenie. And, you know, it's one of those things that we should really teach in school, which is sooner or later you are going to face rejection, whether it's professionally or personally. And learning how to handle rejection, to divorce it as any kind of, like, projection of who you are as an individual, you know, it's not, when you get dumped, it's an indication that the relationship is broken, not that you're broken. And because, you know, you will work for someone else, you know, and clearly Robert is one of those people who doesn't like to be told no. And it's very red flaggy, I think.
Yes. Because you think...
Yeah, very red flaggy behaviour.
Yeah, because it makes you think, like, if he and Miranda had stayed together, but he's actually underneath, he's a little bit toxic, like, really.
Yeah.
And you never would have guessed. Yeah, and I also think, like, even if you have been wronged, even if you're right to be pissed off with your ex, like, even if they cheated on you, or even if they were horrible to you or whatever, you're still not benefiting anyone by acting shitty to, like, just rise above it. Like, you know.
Actually, Dylan, I think we need to revise our opinion of Dr. Robert Leeds.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a bit red flaggy?
I think he...
Because last week he love-bombed her. That cookie was a very oppressive gesture.
Yeah.
You know, that was quite, almost quite an aggressive move.
Yeah.
Eat my love! I don't want to!
Yeah. And if you don't, then I'll know.
Yeah, because then I'm going to come back to you and grill you about why you haven't said it back.
Yeah, a little bit toxic, yeah. I think, but we don't know. We don't have full confirmation. But I think probably she did the right thing to get out of the relationship, really.
Well, she was in love with Steve as well. Also, she was in love with Steve,
yeah.
So that's the big problem there.
I was thinking with when they bump into him, not the same.
Yeah.
I mean, London's great in that respect because I get on quite well with most of my exes, actually. But I'm not at risk of bumping into them. But I do sometimes just inevitably in my local area bump into Grindr meets past and present. And it happened the other day and I threw him a bit, I think, because I always, it doesn't, amazingly doesn't happen.
Oh God, I thought you meant physically, like you threw him something.
No.
Why are you throwing things at your hookups?
Like, no. Just like in the street, like you're both coming the same way down, opposite ways down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't happen very often. But when it does, I always just like greet them how I'd greet like an acquaintance. Like I just say hi and smile. But for some reason I was like, I like overdid it a bit and I like hugged him. I was like, oh, hi, how are you? And like hugged him and he was a bit like, ooh. But yeah, the etiquette of that in particular is interesting. It just made me think.
Always be nicer than you need to be. I think you handled that very well.
Yeah, and I kind of think
nothing wrong with that.
I kind of think like you've had my dick in you, so why would you, if you've got a problem? Like I should be, you know, I think we're able to give each other a hug.
We're a little past shy, yeah.
Anyway,
please keep that in, Martin. Even if Dylan tells you to remove that, I'm more famous and I'm telling you done. So there you go.
It was very sweet of Steve to lie to Miranda at the
end.
When she was
so
like...
we should probably explain what actually happened.
Yes. Yeah.
So Miranda is moving Steve back into her apartment. And they keep running into Robert because, as Miranda says, you should never shit where you eat.
Yeah.
Rookie mistake.
Yeah.
never shag people at work either for the same reason. Just don't do it. So now, unfortunately, she has to see her ex every time she leaves her apartment, which leads to a tense encounter in a lift and then an even more tense meeting on the staircase where he fakes an orgasm.
Yeah. And then they find that Steve's moving his stuff in, and they found that his TV has been smashed, which is a mystery that is never solved.
No, I think it's a poltergeist. There you go. That's my tuppence.
It's the ghost. Well, Miranda does have a ghost.
Of course, yes, the ghost. And that ghost does not want fucking Steve Brady in the flat. So yeah, he smashes the telly.
Yes, then Steve confronts Robert.
But it wasn't Robert, because Robert is knee-deep in a threesome.
Yeah, Robert's knee-deep in a threesome. And then Miranda is like, was he very upset? And Steve's like, yes, he was, even though he didn't give a shit. But just very sweet of Steve. The main men this week, very good behaviour from all of them. Smith, Steve and Podrovsky are all being very nice this week.
Well, you know how I feel about Petrovsky. But again, a bit love bomby behaviour.
Yeah.
But Carrie seems to be going for it. So
yeah.
That brings us nicely on to Smith Gerard,
yeah.
Who wants to go to, I want to say, the teen posse party.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't pay any attention to the title.
This is quite an interesting plot. Now, actually, what's really interesting is Samantha is barely in it for the first 15 minutes.
Yeah, to the point where I wrote in my notes, like, what's happening with Samantha and Smith? And then it got to the second half and I was like...
Mm. And so I think that's just how the scenes were cut.
Yeah.
And I suppose it was important because the reason what really sort of ignites this plot is Samantha is slightly thrown by the fact Carrie is dating the kind of man that Samantha used to date.
Mm.
And Petrovsky's experience is only highlighting Smith's youth.
Yes. Yeah.
And I like the scene where she's like, I gotta admit, I'm a little jealous.
Yeah.
I love it when you can tell your friends anything, even the weird shit.
Yeah, she's like, truth time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I love, it just made me, as always, just adore Kim Cattrall and Samantha. Just Samantha's like, she is the most authentic and honest of all of them. She's always honest, isn't she? And she just tells it like it is.
Oh, and the hair, the bangs.
I loved it, but this, and this is a question for you, because it's mostly ladies who have this haircut.
Yeah.
When it's the fringe like that, does it not really, it looks great, does it not like irritate you? Does it not get in your eyes all the time?
you kind of get used to it.
Right.
Clever hairdressers will make sure that's not happening.
Right, right.
And so, you know, but when I had bangs, I got them cut mere months before my wedding, which I now regret. But, you basically spend, you've got to just pop back to your hairdresser every few weeks.
Oh, yeah, because they...
To stop that happening.
Yeah.
So that's a pain. But then the pain of growing it out as well. So you have to spend months using a variety of hair clips and tricks and devices to stop it getting in your face.
Oh.
And I believe Samantha's fringe doesn't last very long, because that's the other thing, for continuity, it would be an absolute disaster. The other notable example is Sarah Michelle Gellar's Buffy fringe, which only exists in one episode.
One episode.
It's called Amends. It's series three, and she has the lobotomy fringe. You know, the insanely short.
Oh God!
Like, it was
yes.
So like Courtney Cox in Scream 3.
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah, the absolute lobotomy fringe.
Not a great. Not great.
Not cute. And Sarah Michelle Gellar was like, it's the biggest mistake I've ever made. She makes fun of it on her Instagram all the time. And for the rest of season three, like, you can see that the lobotomy fringe is pinned out of the way. At least Courtney Cox was clever. That hair was a wig. So that was Ms. Cox had the foresight to not do that. But Samantha's fringe doesn't last long, but that is the kind of haircut you can only have if you have very fine hair, because otherwise you look like you're wearing a wig. Blunt ends. Oh, just, she looked stunned.
So noughties.
Yes. Poor Samantha. Because who's that coming over the hill? It's Richard Wright.
Mm. So he is overseeing the hotel, or owns the hotel that this party is in. So he's getting lots of young things. Today it would be like influencers, wouldn't it? to this hotel to like PR it and put it on the map, basically. Mm-hmm. And Samantha arrives with Smith. And yeah, this scene had quite an impact on me. It was quite like, I think because, as Samantha said, truth time, has shades of like some bad decisions I've made in the past. And I know that feeling of going back down in the elevator and just being a bit like, oh, because she sleeps with Richard Wright and then she's like, what am I doing? What is this? Why? Who am I? Why have I done this?
It's heartbreaking. I mean, I think Richard, James Ream are brilliant. It is in four scenes, I think. Three scenes?
Yeah.
I think three scenes. Bar, oh, and then going to the lifts. Four scenes. And he's so loathsome. He's become even more loathsome.
Yeah.
He sort of represents an older version of Samantha as well, kind of. And yeah, that scene, because he doesn't do anything wrong.
No.
You know, she consents to the encounter.
Yeah.
It's that she's changed and he hasn't. That's kind of the problem. And yeah, we've all done it. I've been there as well. Like, why am I putting myself through this? Like, and I do think as well, truth time, that sometimes that's the appeal.
Oh, yes.
There is some sort of twisted appeal in kind of degrading yourself somehow, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, like the taboo thing. And, oh, God, like when they're, like, having sex, something about the angles of it was so, like, so well done. If the intent was to unsettle, which I think it was, they really achieved it. And him, like, talking, I can't even remember what he was saying while they were having sex, but it was... Yeah.
Well, the key line was I've been down this low before.
Yeah.
You know, he's, oof. Yeah.
And then just her sort of devastated expression in the lift when she's going back down by herself.
And then, yeah, and then she cracks on Smith and Smith waiting for her because, yes, he's young, but also he's mature in perhaps a way that she's not, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
She would have, had it been roles reversed, Samantha would have possibly gone home and left Smith, whereas Smith waited.
And I like, not often seen at the time, like a man not really concerned that she has just shagged someone else, but more just concerned, is she okay? Which is great.
Yeah, at the time that confused me. I didn't understand why he wasn't angry, but now I think I understand more that he knows that Samantha has just done something she regrets. You know, she doesn't need to. Well, she does apologize, but she almost doesn't need to, kind of.
Yeah, because he knows.
He can see. Yeah, he knows. He knew before she went up in the lift, I think.
Yeah.
Because he knows Samantha in that moment better than she knows herself.
Yeah.
That this was something she was always going to do. Because there's a self... We all have a self-destructive streak. And I think he sort of sees it. And as a recovering alcoholic, he probably recognizes that fuck it button moment more than most. Really good. A really well thought out little moment that does put this episode on the map.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
What doesn't so much is Charlotte deciding she wants to volunteer for the blind.
Charlotte realised she had no idea where she was going, in Barney's or in life. Well...
Oh, God.
What a line.
But she does. That's the thing. She does. She's only got to wait 2 months before she can try to conceive again.
Yeah, none of the Charlotte stuff. And it's a shame because it's kind of dealing with quite a serious thing that has happened to her. But last week it was great. This week it went off the rails with it. Her and Anthony being like, look at the light. And it's just like this sort of CGI light through a tree in the park.
It looks like the weird dream in The Ring. You know, when the sunlight goes through the tree where they killed her. It's like, oh, careful. But we will notice this is the first time autumn has ever arrived.
Yeah, I made a note of that. Yeah.
Eternal spring has finished, guys.
Yeah, I guess because they're getting towards the end of the end.
The end. Yeah. The winter. Winter is coming.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's a different HBO property, isn't it?
Petrovsky arrives in White Walker, White Walker getter.
Well. Charlotte roaming around Barney's wearing a Burberry sleep mask is fairly stupid.
I mean, I think the lesson we can take from this is if you're blind, don't be friends with Carrie Bradshaw because she will just leave you and go and buy food.
Oh, 100%, yeah. And obviously this episode is now notable because the man helping Carrie try on shoes is Andy Cohen. And this is where their formative friendship began. And obviously Sarah Jessica Parker and Andy Cohen are besties. So,
yeah. Yeah.
He's unrecognisable. If it weren't such a well-known pop culture fact, I would have never have clocked that that was Andy Cohen.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Yeah, never. I've got a couple of fashion notes.
Okay.
Loved Robert's velour sort of burnt ombre tracksuit.
Right. Yeah. Let's bring back Juicy Couture. I'm ready.
And Samantha's red sort of geisha-esque lingerie I loved as well.
Oh, with the little nip poking out. Yeah.
I enjoyed
love
that.
Love that for her. Carrie's hair looks beautiful as ever. Oh, I liked Charlotte's tie and waistcoat look that she wears to the interview to be a blind helper.
Oh, yeah, that was nice. Yeah, and I also recognised the interviewer, but I don't know what...
I like how she gets a lot of visitors like Charlotte.
Yeah, like, she's like...
Thank you, you can go now. You and I both know you're not going to volunteer for us ever.
Lots of product placement for Google. We heard the word Google about 10 times.
Yeah. But then you have to remember this was 2001. Google was very new.
Yeah. And I was, yeah, true. But I was just sort of struck. I was like, is it product placement? Because it's really difficult to imagine a world when Google would have needed product placement like it's Google.
Well, we were all using Ask Jeeves at the time, didn't we?
Ask Jeeves, Yahoo, AOL. Yeah. Do you remember the AOL lady?
Yeah.
The Microsoft Word paperclip.
What do we have to look forward to next week? Oh, is it Stephen Rander's wedding next week? I think it might be, you know.
Let me just Google that.
Google.
The ick factor. Carrie is irritated by Alexander's old-fashioned romantic gestures.
Oh, well, there we go. That lasted a long time.
And Charlotte and Harry get sick from a French dinner. Oh, yeah, the fucking fromage. So yeah, I think a bit more dynamic than this week's.
Yeah, stuff happening. Okay, then we will see you next week for a beautiful autumnal wedding moment.
Yes.
So until next week, take care of yourselves and always look for the light, the beautiful springtime light. Bye for now.
Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.